We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter number 2, and text number 22.
Ta iti bhagavad rupam,
ta iti bhagavad rupam,
viśvam sadasadātmakam,
viśvam sadasadātmakam,
ātmano ya avitirekena,
ātmano avitirekena,
paśyanto vyacharan mahim,
paśyanto vyacharan mahim.
Ta eti, these nine Yogendras,
Bhagavat,
of the Supreme Lord,
Rupam,
a form,
Vishwam,
the entire universe, Sat Asat
Atmakam,
consisting of both gross and subtle objects,
Atmanaha,
from the Self,
avyatirekena,
as non-different,
paśyantaha,
seeing,
vyacharan,
they wander,
mahim,
the earth. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. These sages wandered the earth, seeing the entire universe with all its gross and subtle objects as a manifestation of the Supreme Lord and as non-different from the Self. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, it is clearly demonstrated in this and the following verses that the nine saintly sons of Rishabhdev, known as the Navayogendras, were situated in the highest stage of spiritual perfection, called Paramhansasya Charitam, or having fully developed the character of Paramhansas. In other words, they were pure devotees of the Lord. According to Sridhar Swami and Srila Jiva Goswami, the words Atmano Vyatirekena indicates that the nine sages saw the universe as being non-different from themselves as well as non-different from the Supreme Lord, Soul Lord Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has additionally commented, Atmanaha Paramatmanaha Sakshat Avyatirekena Vishvasya Tat Shakti Mayatvad Iti Bhavaha. Atmanah indicates the super soul. This universe is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, since the entire universe is composed of His energies. Although it is stated here that the cosmic manifestation is non-different from both the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that either the living entity or the Supreme Lord is material. A Vedic aphorism states, Asangohi ayam purushaha, the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with this material world. Furthermore, Bhagavad Gita says that entire universe consisting of the eight gross and subtle elements constitute the Bhinna Prakriti or Apara Prakriti, the separated inferior energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna clearly states in Bhagavad Gita that He has eternally established His own abode in the kingdom of God, where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and that the living entity being part and parcel of God is also eternal. Mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Furthermore, once having gone to that eternal abode of the Lord, the living entity never returns to this temporary manifestation. Yam praptyana nivartante tad dhamam paramam mama. One may therefore ask why the living entity and the Supreme Lord are stated to be non-different from the material universe. The question is very nicely answered by Srila Narada Muni in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 5th chapter, 20th verse. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetaro yat jagatsthana nirodha sambhavaha. The Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead is Himself this cosmos and still He is aloof from it. From Him only has His cosmic manifestation emanated. In Him it rests and unto Him it enters after annihilation. Coming on Narada's statement, Wow, what a big one. Pandits. Srila Prabhupada has very nicely explained this delicate philosophical point. For a pure devotee, the conception of Mukunda, Lord Sri Krishna, is both personal and impersonal. The impersonal cosmic situation is also Mukunda because it is the emanation of the energy of Mukunda. For example, a tree is a complete unit, whereas the leaves and branches of the tree are emanated parts and parcel of the tree. The leaves and the branches of the tree are also tree, but the tree itself is neither the leaves nor branches. The Vedic version is that the whole cosmic creation is nothing but Brahman, means that since everything is emanating from the Supreme Brahman, nothing is apart from Him. Similarly, the part and parcel, hands and legs are called the body, but the body as the whole unit is neither the hands nor legs. The Lord is the transcendental form of eternity, cognition and beauty. And thus the creation of the energy of the Lord appears to be partially eternal, full of knowledge and beautiful also. According to the Vedic version, the Lord is naturally fully powerful, and thus His supreme energies are always perfect and identical with Him. Both the spiritual and material skies and their paraphernalia are emanation of the internal and external energies of the Lord. External energy is comparatively inferior, whereas the internal potency is superior. The superior energy is the living force, whereas she is completely identical with the Lord. But the external energy, being inert, is partially identical. But both the energies are neither equal nor greater than the Lord, who is the generator of all energies. Such energies are always under His control. Exactly as electrical energy, however powerful it may be, it always under control of the engineer. The human being and all other living beings are product of His eternal internal energies. Thus, the living being is also identical with the Lord, but He is never equal or superior to the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada has clearly explained here that both the cosmic manifestation and living entities are emanation from the Supreme Lord, as confirmed both in the Vedanta Sutra and in the opening statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasya Yataha. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. Similarly, the Ishopanishad states, Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, is Purna, or complete in Himself, and since the cosmic world is a manifestation of His potency, it is also appeared to be Purna. In other words, because this material world is an emanation from the Supreme Lord, it is non-different from Him, exactly as the sun rays are non-different from the sun globe, which is the source of their emanation. Similarly, the living beings are the expansions of the superior, a conscious energy of the Supreme Lord, and also non-different from Krishna. Although this non-difference is qualitative and not quantitative, the gold found in the golden ornaments, such as ring and bracelets, is qualitatively identical with gold in mine. But the gold in the mine is quantitatively far superior in tiny quantities of gold in bracelets or rings. Similarly, although we are qualitatively one with God, being spiritual emanation of His unlimited potency, we are quantitatively infinitesimal and eternally subordinate to His supreme power. Therefore, the Lord is called Vibhu, or infinitely potent, and we are Anu, or infinite and dependent. This is further confirmed in Vedic literature by the statement, Nityo Nityanam Shetanas Shetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. This is in Kathopanishad, second chapter, second verse. Second canto, second chapter, 13th verse. There are innumerable eternal living entities who are eternally and totally dependent upon the Supreme Singular Living Entity, the Supreme Lord. That dependence is not an illusion created by material existence, as stated in the impersonalist philosophers, but is an eternal relationship in which the Lord is eternally superior and we are eternally inferior. The Lord is eternally independent and we are eternally dependent. The Lord is eternally absolute in Himself and we are eternally relative to His Supreme Personality. Although the Lord is infinitely greater than any other living being or than all of them combined, every living being is qualitatively non-different from the Lord, because all living beings are parts and parcel emanating from Him. Mama ivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Therefore, in one sense, the living entity is also non-different from the material cosmic manifestation, which is inferior sister energy of the Lord. Both the living entity and the material nature are prakriti or feminine dependent expansions of the Supreme Purusha. The difference is that the living entity is the superior energy of the Lord because the living entity is conscious and eternally like the Lord, whereas material energy is inferior energy of the Lord, lacking consciousness and eternal form. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized in this regard that the absolute substance is one and is called Paramatma or the Super Soul. When one has achieved but a partial vision of the Paramatma, one's understanding of life is called Atma Darshan or Self-Realization. And when even his partial understanding is lacking, one's existential condition is called Anatmana Darshan or ignorance of the Self. In the state of partial realization of the Super Soul, without recognition of the Paramatma's distinction from the individual soul, the living entity tends to become puffed up by his spiritual advancement, to be carried away by the mental concoction, and consider himself equal in all respects with God. On the other hand, the living entity situated in anatma darshan or material ignorance feels that he is completely different from the Supreme Lord. And since everyone in this material world is interested in himself, the living entity forgets about God, thinking that God is completely different from him and that there is therefore no substantial relationship between him and God. In this way, the impersonal transcendentalists emphasize only the oneness between the God and the living entity, whereas the ordinary materialists overemphasize the difference between God and living entity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly revealed that the ultimate truth is simultaneously oneness and difference. Achintya bheda bheda tattva. Actually, we are eternally different from God, because the living entity and God are eternally separate individual entities. There exists the possibility of the eternal relationship, and because every living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, that relationship constitutes the essence of the ultimate reality for every living being. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 20th chapter 108th verse, Jivera Swarupaho Krishna Nitya Das. The ultimate entity, essential identity of every living entity is his relationship with the Supreme Lord as a servitor of the Lord. If one can understand that he is eternally servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can correctly understand both the living entity and the material universe are identical with Krishna, being emanation from him. That they are therefore non-different from each other. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta has stated, material world is a manifestation of simultaneous difference and non-difference, and it is a form of Supreme Lord. Thus the temporary, perishable and ever-changing material world is different from Vaikuntha, the eternal world. It should be noted that in this verse the word Sat, Asat, Atmakam, or made up of gross and subtle objects, does not refer to material and spiritual objects. This universe is stated to be composed of Sat and Asat, gross and subtle material objects. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the very subtle state in within the manifested world is known as the unmanifest, and the realm beyond the manifest world is called the transcendental. Within the covering surroundings, the manifest in the region of the time factor is the phase of material existence experienced by the controlling deities. In this phase exist the two functions, cause, that is asat, and effect, sat. In the universe, which is the third tattva or reality apart from and containing both sat and asat, and which is the form of the Lord, It is impossible to produce any contradiction to the non-dual absolute truth. In other words, although ignorant materialistic scientists may zealously carry out research to find the material principle that can negate or render unnecessary existence of God, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati clearly states that since the universe is an emanation from the Lord and therefore spiritually identical with Him, there cannot possibly exist anywhere within this universe a material law, principle or phenomenon that in any way contradicts the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, the entire universe along with the spiritual sky exists as eternal testimony to the unlimited glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. With this understanding, the nine Yogendras were traveling about the earth in transcendental bliss. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhul Militam Yena Tasme Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeyaham Sri Guruho Sri Tutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadurtam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Vancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindhubye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What an elaborate purport. Just for one word, atmano avyatirekena pasyanto. This phrase has been explained in such a detail by the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhara Swami, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Jiva Goswami. Oh my God. But it is very clear and distinct. Otherwise, this particular phrase can be interpreted in so many ways. But because it's the glory of the sampradaya, the disciplic succession, then we have to protect our understanding. Right? So, how is it simultaneously understood that these sages wandered the earth, seeing the entire universe with all its gross and subtle objects as manifestation of the Supreme Lord and as non-different from the Self. The basic fundamental situation that was cleared up, that qualitative oneness between Self and Super-Self is there. So whatever the Super-Self is producing, right? Whatever the Super Self is producing, there is identical situation that can be applied to the Self. Because qualitative oneness is there. Quantitative oneness is not there. But because of these qualities, we find several experiential situations within our own life. First of all, when in the process of purification, in the process of purification by the Holy Name, means taking the spiritual energy of the Lord, even the body of the practitioner becomes spiritualized. Even though the body is there. So how to understand this? The body is made up of gross elements. Bhumi, rapa, nalo, vayu, kham, mano, buddhi, revacha, ahankaram iti yame binna prakriti astada. Krishna says that these are my separate energies. These energies are separate. But the living entity is also separated from him. That is vibhinna ausha. Bhinna and vibhinna, both are different. But simultaneously they are one in the supreme spiritual energy because it's the origin. So it is simultaneously oneness and difference is there. It is simultaneously existing. But those who are realized souls, whose bodies are also become spiritualized. So seemingly this body is acting like a mechanical body, a material body. But nonetheless, the infusion of the divine energy, the spiritual energy, can make wonders. Can make wonders. So the conscious living entity, like the nine yogendras, they are described that they don't see any difference between material and spiritual. Everything is spiritual in them. Observation. For a devotee, an advanced devotee, there is no difference between material and spiritual. Prabhupada says so many times. So simultaneously oneness is there. But the origin for Krishna, this material world is created for some time, sustained for some time and annihilated. And it is within his realm, not apart from him, within his own existence, because everything is him. And nothing can exist away from him. Sarvam idam kalvam brahma. Vasudevam sarvamiti. How do we realize it is sarvamiti? So, all the spiritual expansions of Lord Krishna, the Paramatma or Brahman, Krishna reserves the right to be in Goloka Vrindavan, and that abode nobody returns from. But from the Brahman portion, both the living entity and the gross material elements emerge. Both are coming from the same source. One is a conscious atom, another is unconscious atom. That's the only difference. Otherwise, there is no distinction. So, that's why it is possible to become simultaneously one and different existence. Now this difference is very predominantly existing in a materialist. Those who are too much absorbed in sense gratification, out of ignorance. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekehi kuru nandana bahushakha hanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. The resolute determination of bhakti, that determination is one. It is harmoniously. Just like we use the paraphernalia which are material in nature in service of Krishna, but we are advised to worship the paraphernalia more than the deity. Why? Because the spiritual vision, it is simultaneously one and different. So a devotee who wants to go back home, back to Godhead, is not imagining, but considering with full deliberation that these are the eternal paraphernalia of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan also. All the processes of bhakti that we try to acquire here and come to the resolute determination of ananya bhakti, means only to Lord Shri Krishna, that leads us to Goloka Vrindavan, where one does not necessarily returns. When Krishna descends to material world, he also brings his Golok Vrindavan. And when he returns, he takes away. And dharma also, jnana also, which is identical as the spiritual. Even the imparting of the jnana or executing of dharma may be involved in physical activities. So, for self-realized souls, the situation is that here explained that atmano avyatirekena, the self is non-different and seeing pasyantaha, always keep themselves on that high spirit that there is nothing different. All the material objects are also spiritual objects and they are in utilization of Krishna's service. So, everything has to be respected. Everything has to be respected. Many a times we hear in Srila Prabhupada's behavior also, Prabhupada was going on morning walk in New York in early days to Thompson Square Park, and on Sunday the New York City streets are like hellish because a lot of litter garbage is thrown around and it's unclean, stinking place for the whole weekend. People have abused in sense gratification. Right? So, one devotee called on Prabhupada, look, this is hellish. And Prabhupada retorted, it may be for you, not for me, it's heaven, right? Prabhupada's vision is very, very uniform. Hellish condition is considered to be very conducive for devotional service. That's Prabhupada's attitude. Why to complain? Everything is existing simultaneously. One and difference is there. So, the idea is that the development of the spiritual vision in the most exalted liberated state there, here all the nine yogendras are said to be wandering with this non-different attitude from Lord Krishna's external energy, internal energy. Actually, everything is internal for him. Nothing is external. Prabhupada said many a times that the vision of a realized soul is everything is spiritual. There is no distinction existing between material and spiritual. It's only in the neophyte's mind. Just stop complaining. Complaint comes with the difference of opinion, difference in the mind. This is good, that is good. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also it is said, dvaite bhadra abhadra sakali saman, yai bhalo, yai mand, sab manodharma. Dvaita. Dvaita means in duality. Duality exists when opposites are existing. So, this whole material cosmic manifestation is dvaita. You distinguish, this is spiritual, this is material. Right? Fine, it is up to certain stage. But, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is a sakali sama. Both are same. Good, bad, both are same. Because the vision is beyond the three modes of material nature, and that is a reality and existence in reality is there, which is three times bigger than this material. So why to complain for an insignificant portion for those neophytes that do not know? But because it is embedded within the Lord's entirety, this creation is for some time, alright? It is to make understand then this is not the place for a gentleman, one who has realized his eternity, his own qualitativeness similar to Lord Sri Krishna's, then why he should complain about this so-called jail? He becomes very obedient and never displeasing the jailer, so he can be easily get out from the clutches and be on parole. So the development of the devotees is that can set free from the jail. So dvaite bhadra abhadra, what is auspicious, what is inauspicious, sakali saman, everything is equal. Yai bhalo, this is good. Yai mand, this is bad. Sab manodharma, that is only a mental concoction. Because the mind is attached, so mind has to be freed from the duality of existence. Then and then he can go cross. Even the demigods are entangled in this bhadra abhadra. Right? But beyond parastasmattu bhavo anyo vyakta vyakta sanatana, there is another nature which is beyond manifest and unmanifest. And this manifestation, unmanifestation is only in the material world. So this temporary manifested and unmanifested nature can come to an end, but the other nature, transcendental nature, is therefore eternal. So inferior energy, superior energy, marginal energy. Marginal energy is always dependent, and superior energy is also conducting both marginal energy as well as inferior energy. So all these energies are there. So when one realizes, one becomes totally embedded or enveloped in superior energy, that is spiritual energy, right? So he is also simultaneously encompassing both marginal energy and inferior energy. This is the vision of the liberated people, that they don't distinguish between jar and chetan, conscious, unconscious. So for example, the Uttamadhikari, his vision is that he sees the deity, he sees the devotee, and he also sees the non-devotees, the karmis, and that he doesn't make any distinction. He doesn't make any distinction. So, sat and asat manifestations are there. But the sat portion can give rise to the eternal existence in Goloka Vrindavan. Sat sadatmakam, sat and asat. Now, on the onset of creation, when all the living entities from Brahma Jyoti were transported through the glance of Mahavishnu and embedded into the manifesting Pradhan Prakriti, covered them with the three modes of material nature. Alright? Ignorance covered them first and created false ego. Then the combination of the three modes of material nature developed the earthly elements from subtle to gross. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo trisargo mrusha. Even the demigods are bewildered that how is it possible to generate solid earth from water. But it came from water. Because earthly elements are soluble in the water. Take a drop of water and let it evaporate and you will see some spot remaining behind it. What is this? The dissolved substances. So that constitute the earth element in the water. But water came from fire. So people do not understand how the transformations from one energy to another energy is happening. They are bewildered. Even demigods are bewildered. But Krishna is not bewildered. So those who are trying to take shelter of Lord Krishna, they get the vision of Lord Krishna too. So they will not be bewildered. So they will see everything that simultaneously the same vision belongs to them, like Krishna. So they are called Atmano Avyatirekena. They will see themselves non-different. They don't have a different identity. They have the absolute identity, of course, subservient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These nine yogendras were so free that they were roaming the whole earth. There is no difference between the soul and the body. A pure devotee passes away. Why do we put him in the salt and make a samadhi over him? Why? Because the first consideration is that his body is also spiritual. And those who are actively engaged in karmic activity, not freed from the material conception of life, their bodies are supposed to be burned to ashes. That he could not burn his karma, right? But the karma is through the body, so let's burn the body. Alright? And those who are totally ignorant, they may bury him in the ground and let the worms and unintelligent entities eat them up. After all, it's a food. Why to waste? And people who are paying for this buried nature, it's more of ignorant disposal of the body. But then they are very attached to their so-called position and glory in the society. Here lies somebody in eternity. So the skull will be still there, rotten flesh will be still there. So, it's not a sign of liberation. Ignorance does not allow anybody to liberate. But the process is verifiable. The Parsis, the Zoroastrians, keep the body hanging so the vultures will come and eat them. That's another one. But the Vedic sanskar of antyeshti dictates that this body must be burnt. Because the karma, the subtleties of the attachment, they have to be burnt. And the soul, seeing the burning body, he has to be taught the horrifying nature. So don't get attached to the body. Get out, get another one. Like that. Sometimes on the funeral path, the body rises and they take a stick and push him back in the fire. It's not that it has life, but it is the attachment. Too much gross attachment. So it has to be burnt. And those people are not merciful that they will save him from the fire, because he won't survive. Better push him. Get him off. Anyway, the idea is that when the duality is still existing, then there is no chance to become, fully liberated. Who doesn't get that chance? The Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apratachetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhavna Vidhiyate. Those who are engrossed in sense gratificatory life, they become prasakta, maddened. So, even however they are trying to keep their balance, but they will never get the inclination for that resolute determination. They will never get. Therefore, it has to be stopped. The training is very pertinent. Then, four regulative principles are sense gratifying principles, they must be avoided. So, anyway, the whole purpose is described in a very, very, scholarly way, references to all the four great personalities in our line of disciplic succession has said in order that Mayavadis may misuse and look, he's God. These nine Yogendras were God. Somebody may say, no, but this is the state of realization, and it only comes after reaching to the Paramahamsa state. Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the relishment of the Paramahamsas. Sahintam Paramahamsasya. This is the Sanhita compilation that pleases the Paramahamsas. Paramahamsas means a supreme position of swan. A swan is known by its ability to separate milk from water. If you give a mixture of milk and water, the swan will only take the milk part and throw away the water part. That ability is in swan. So, nirakshir vivek, the deliberation between nir means water and kshir means milk. So, these paramahansas, they are in the supreme stage of deliberation. And they become totally absorbed in the spiritual aspect. They are always in connection with the spirituality. Therefore, their entire configuration becomes spiritual. It doesn't have any bodily or material conception. When somebody is electrocuted, why he is also becoming a good conductor to electrocute somebody? It's because the infusion of the divine energy like that, one becomes liberated and feels he is one with manifested and unmanifested, even material world. It doesn't mean he has created. His position is nitya, means eternal. in eternally individual, however insignificant he may be, but he is eternally an individual. He cannot become diffused or dissolved or annihilated. Right? Nitya, nitya position. So is ever there. This definition of the Absolute Truth given in the invocation of Ishopanishad Mantra, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnad Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. The Supreme Lord is Absolute Truth, is Purna, or complete in Himself. And everything that is emanating is also appearing. It's Purna, complete and perfect. And because they are appearing within Him, however separate units will become, Purna units will be formed. Because they are contained in Him, therefore He remains always Purna. He doesn't change His shape. So, the expansions are within, not without. In our material state, we always have this distinction of, I have material body, I am a spirit soul, but I cannot reach to God because He is somewhere else in Golok Vrindavan. So we anticipate Golok Vrindavan to be in another realm away from us. But this distance is in the brain. This distance is within our imagination. How to reduce this distance? It's by process of bhakti. When the soul and super soul are in connection, all the distances will be reduced. Gross materialists are not seeing the distance, but they also further make them totally separate than the Lord. And because their senses do not perceive the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they think we are the Lord and Master. Somebody has to at least take the leadership or ownership. If this land is vacant, go and occupy it. I am the owner. He neither created, neither he has been allotted by somebody. He grabs it. Somebody is trying to grab by giving little money. Somebody is trying to get everything which has not been done through his own energy. It means it's totally cheating. So gross materialists are not having that conception that somehow or another I'm a thief. They never think I'm a thief. Everybody does. But then when they are led to realize something in their capacity, then they start making distinction that, okay, I should not cheat, I should not lie. But the Paramahansa's stage is seeing everything is within Him and without Him. Just try to accept the vision of the Lord and he will see non-different. But because he is part and parcel, he is simultaneously in the subordinate or subservient position. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Swarupa Hoyer Krishnera Nitya Das Krishnera Tatastha Shakti Bher Abher Prakash. Tatastha Shakti is the Jiva. Jiva is his part and parcel. But because he is confined in the unrealized state, where he distinguishes between the gross material and subtle spiritual natures, he is confronting them. You know, he is still looking into the state of duality. But this dual state will be overpowered by chanting process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And because it's very potent, spiritually infused process, it takes over the every status of existence, between subtle, gross, even in the mental conceptions. And that distance will be closed. You know, there is no distinction. He will see, he nonetheless part and parcel, but he is qualitatively one. And quantitative difference is his eternal position. He is very insignificant, but his awareness is all-encompassing. He doesn't see any distinction. Just like Lord Krishna says that, I have created this material world, but I am not in that. I will send my influence to maintain it. Or I will send my localized representation as Paramatma to say, but I will stay in my Goloka Vrindavan. So, in this way he expands. But a living entity cannot expand himself. In the material world he imitates and he creates his own empire by expanding. Striyo punsan maithuni bhava medat tayo rahur radaya granthista ata griha kshetra apta suttai janasya mohoyam aham mameti. These are the empire expansions that he can do. But they are all coming under the grip of temporary time cycle. And of course time is eternal, but the creation, sustenance and dissolution, they are very temporary states. Creation of the material manifestation is not. But material manifestation is made up of all the dead particles. Sometimes I try to express that a person who is in gross sense gratificatory activities, he has no inclination for thinking about Krishna or any iota of understanding the divine nature. Isn't it as dead as particle of matter? He associates with matter and he thus becomes material. His conception will become material. He is overpowered. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam he is called Atmaha. The conscious particle thus becomes a dead particle in association with the matter. And these dead particles are also the also originated in Brahmajyoti. Brahmajyoti consists of these two sets of particles, Chitkan and other dead, Achitkan. So, as long as those distinctions are remaining, you know, then there is always material and spiritual duality existences there. And within the material world, there are material dualities. It will proliferate like anything. Mm. Even slightest misunderstanding will create a big havoc because of his dual nature. Sometimes people say, oh, I didn't mean to say like that, but I speak like that. You know, so there is a dual meaning is there. And so many words have multiple meanings, which are totally dual in nature. Only in Sanskrit, because it was originated, it was meant only for in relationship to the Supreme Lord. But the impersonalists, Mayavadis, they also make a meaning out of it, which are not concentrated to the Supreme Lord. So, in this way we can see who has an intention to take the direct meaning of the Lord's saying. It should be in his favor. Only the devotees, and that the cultivation of the devotees by devotional service, that they will be able to come to that point. The rules and regulations of interpreting the Vedic literature is also based on that. A devotee can best serve to give the meaning as it is rather than anything. So Srila Prabhupada is protecting us in order to get the best benefit for spiritual realization and reach to the state of Paramahansas. So these nine yogendras having this particular characteristics, that they came to the conclusion that there is no difference between them and the created energy. Right? They were indifferent. They were non-different, and therefore they cultivated vision of indifference. So anybody has any question? It's a huge topic.
So the duality only exists because we have the desire to enjoy it.
That's correct.
Otherwise there's no duality.
No. Absolute is non-dual substance. It's called non-dual. Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam. Advayam means non-dual. Advayam. No dvaya. No two. Is advayam. Yes. Definitely. The vision will dissolve all the distinctions.
So if someone wanted to think devotees as the devotees are trying to use them for any purpose, wouldn't be able to use their soul in them at that stage?
Right. And these are the stages of devotion, and the devotees are categorized according to this vision. A neophyte devotee, he sees only Krishna, you know, and whatever conception he has, he doesn't care to meet with the devotees or hear from them, associate with them. No. Those who are self-centered only to the deity, and they try to relate whatever their feelings are along, whether it is in correct way, spiritual way or material way, generally they convey their sentiments which are material in nature. There are no spiritual sentiments expressed by them. But the Madhyamadhikari, the advanced devotee, is seeing the Lord as well as he associates with the devotees. And he tries to accumulate or assimilate the transcendental knowledge, you know, and try to practice to realize more and more. That is the second class. So he is advanced, so he can teach to the neophytes. Generally the gurus are supposed to come from this middle class. But Uttamadhikari means he doesn't see any difference between the deity, the devotee as well as non-devotees. So you can see the distinctions are getting dissolved more and more as one advances. So at such a level as Paramahamsas, even those who are, say, sannyasis, Paramahamsa is the fourth stage, that he is totally in the transcendental realm. Otherwise, he is supposed to rise gradually, that in the beginning of sannyas state, which is called Bahudak state, he simply disassociates with his family members, stays only within the town but outskirts of the town, but he is being fed by his family members. But then he gives up that. So, that is, first stage is called Kutichak. Now comes the Bahudak stage, that he extends his hand, means begging bowl. So he goes within the town, called Bahudak. He begs for prasadam within the town's people. But he stops eating from the home. Then the third stage, he leaves the town and goes becoming Parivrajakacharya. And last stage is Paramahamsa. Parivrajakacharya is supposed to travel. But in Paramahamsa stage, they are also traveling. But in the consciousness of that complete indifference. Some of the stages in Paramahamsa is also called Avadhuta, and some other stages are there. You know, that they are completely aloof from the bodily conception of life. Not only that, there is indifference, no distinction in their vision. So there are different categories everywhere.
Maharaj, you're telling something about the origin of false ego. So what is actually, where false ego comes from?
False ego is mode of ignorance covering up the soul. He thinks he's somebody. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smashes our false ego. Think you are nobody. Trinadapi suni chena, tarorapi sahishuna, amani na manadena kirtanyasa. When you become amani, means your false ego is gone. If you want to make yourself as a distinguished from others, then false ego is there.
Do we have to worship Lord Shiva? Do we have to worship Lord Shiva too?
Not worship, but follow what he does. Don't have a home. Lord Shiva doesn't have a home. Go to crematorium and chant Hare Krishna there. He's trying so much, but yet people are after him. But that Shambhu, the embodiment of the false ego, that is Shivalinga, in the form of the linga. So the false ego dictates everyone, and okay, I have an urge to become father, mother, like that, even though we have no capacity to deliver our dependent. Therefore Bhagavatam is telling, no, forget it, don't become.
You mentioned about the Vaishnava Buddhism and Samadhi, the pure yogi philosophy. Simultaneously, it is one spirit's soul, simultaneously, it is
Ramanuja's body was preserved and mummified. It is still there. Because these bodies are worshipable. Everywhere there may not be knowing the know-how of how to preserve the body. But Ramanujacharya's body is preserved and mummified and is still existing. What do you think of Naranarayan? They are still existing and performing, you know, tapascharya for the welfare of the entire universe. They are direct incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God. They expanded as Lord Krishna and Arjuna, somebody said. But their eternal function is there. Krishna ordered them. In any case, how long one can preserve? That's another thing. But at what extent can we understand that these bodies are spiritual, that created wonders? That's inspiration, and that is a valid process of infuse the devotional service. Now consider the mummies of Egyptian pyramids. What are they? They think that the dynasty was glorious. So even though an infant can be mummified, they had a practice. And do you know who took this process of mummification? The South Indians, who helped them to build the pyramids and preserve in such a hot weather. You know. So the process is there, but people use for their glorious dynasty, the king and everything. They think this is the civilization. No. Civilization is based on spiritual and on process, not material process. Because the West is more materialistic, they accept the Egyptian civilization to be all in all. They have no iota of the spiritual civilization that developed, you know, in Bharatavarsha. Of course. Have you seen the petrified forest? In the state of Arizona, in the United States, in the northern Arizona, the whole forest became stone, and you can still have the old rings and everything about the stone. But it is petrified in stone. Petrification. So, there are so many things can be petrified. We look to some spiritual connection that how the whole forest became petrified. It's called petrification. But putrefaction is decomposing. Right? Don't misunderstand. Yes, petrification. And people who travel there, the tourists collect these artifacts and see that is petrified tree. The whole tree can be petrified. Oh yeah, become forest, stone forest, but they are trees. So there is nothing impossible. Who can become stone-like? You know. Yes, the paraphernalia generally means the devotees, but we extend our feeling that whatever comes in use of the worship of the Lord, they are non different from the Lord. So whether he's a living medium of service or dead medium of service, what is the difference? A pujari's body is supposed to be kept clean, right? He has to bathe 3 times minimum. He has to chant his Gayatri, he has to cultivate the vision of Paramatma, not only in the deity but also in all the devotees. Otherwise his puja is a failure. So at what an extent that one has to worship to fructify the real worship? He has to respect every kind of devotee that comes and show indifference. That was the means of salvation in Dwapara Yuga. Realization of Paramatma through the deity worship, the major aspect. If we extend anything that comes in the service, like mridanga, harmonium, even kartal, we don't want to let them sit on the floor, pick up and put on the higher level. Right? So it's a very good practice to cultivate that vision of identity with the spirituality. Mala, japa mala, like that. Why it is said, for an introspective devotee, he has to hide 4 things within his heart. Why it is said that he has to hide his mantra, his guru, his japamala and the ishtadeva? 4 things, keep it within his heart. Because these are the most worshipable thing for him. And he can progress fast in spiritual realization. So one is a serious devotee, then he must hide 4 things. Means he will be well behaved. No hanky-panky. No. And most ideal character is coming out by taking this devotional process. It's not simply, I have a guru. I took initiation, that's it, I have won the victory. Yeah? But it's not victory. You'll be winning a failure as long as you are extrospective devotee. You know, that you want to nurture your anarthas and simply just declare Guru is to be all in all, my Guru, Jagat Guru, leg barrier, too much speaking, but he will be hiding behind the Guru and keeping nurturing his anarthas. That is an external devotee. He will push his Guru, go to hell, I don't care, but I'll maintain my position. So the Guru is in trouble because having such a disciple, and one should not have this kind of disciple. One must be a serious person. Prabhupada was very, very serious about the shortcomings of devotees, and they said, Prabhupada, I cannot chant. Said, well, where is the determination? Why did you promise in front of the devotee, deity and the fire yajna? If you are not determined, what is the necessity to take initiation? Where is the determination? If you are not determined, don't take. Don't try to hide behind the Guru. And Guru should not be lenient. Rather, let him get corrected with this vision and then he will become serious. It's the beginning. The beginning is done with determination. If there is no determination, forget it. So, the path is very strict, but at the same time sublime. It doesn't keep you waiting for not enjoying the nectarian result of your spiritual development. You'll be more and more enthused, not discouraged. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukham kartam avyayam. It's happening right before our eyes, but follow very strictly. Avagamam kartam avyayam. You will accumulate the results which are inexhaustible. Susukham, we are very happy. All right, let's have happiness in having prasadam. Shri Prabhupada ki.